Last Lent, I offered a six-week series on St. Francis of Assisi. And one of the books I read in preparation for the series was a book entitled The Loneliness and Longing of St. Francis. And I mention this book today not so much for the sake of Francis of Assisi, but the author, Gerard Thomas Straub. Straub was a Hollywood filmmaker and a professing atheist. He once had the likes of Alec Baldwin and Demi Moore starring for him. He's also the producer of the famous television series, The General Hospital. In March 1985, Straub visited Rome. One afternoon, overcome by tiredness, he was looking for a place to find some quiet and rest. A nearby church seemed to be the best place. In another book, The Thoughts of a Blind Beggar, Straub writes about what transpired in church. He says, within the space of a fleeting moment, I knew that God was real, that God loved me, and the hunger and thirst I felt so long could be satisfied only by God. In that moment, he had changed from being an atheist to someone who acknowledged God. But that was only the beginning. Touched by Christ and inspired by Francis, Straub's newfound faith totally transformed him. Just like Abraham in today's first reading, Straub began a new life. His faith led him to places he never imagined he would ever go, or make changes that he never imagined he would make. It took him from the riches, it took him from riches to self-imposed poverty, from head-spinning fame to embracing the poor, from the luxury of his Hollywood lifestyle to the slums of Central America, of India, and parts of Africa. Today, Straub is a renowned documentary filmmaker and the founder and president of Parks at Bonham Communications. His organization produces films focused on the plight of the poor. He has been awarded 3 honorary doctorates in recognition for his work on behalf of the poor. Till 2020, Straub lived in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and at present, he lives in California with his wife and a pet dog. This is a true story. As I reflected on Sunday's readings, I could not but think of Straub. Jesus, in today's gospel reading, asks his disciples to sell all they have, give alms, and to build treasures in heaven. He asks them to have bare minimum for the sake of the kingdom of God. Instead, he asks them to accumulate treasures in heaven. This calls for a radical kind of faith. It calls for a radical kind of confidence in God. And the question that I ask myself is, how does somebody do this? How do I do it? How can we imitate the faith of Abraham, of Francis of Assisi, of Thomas Straub? How do we let the gospel guide our life journey? So my three points today are really a reflection on these questions that I asked myself. And here is my reflection. Perhaps many of you have others to offer. But here is my first point. I want to begin with the Book of Wisdom. This reading that we read today talks about the Passover, the night that the people of Israel shared the Passover meal and then fled to slavery, fled from slavery in Egypt. Now, the Book of Wisdom was written just about 100 years before the coming of Christ. And this should tell us something, right? This means that the author of the Book of Wisdom is reflecting on the Passover experience many centuries after the Passover. The lessons that the author draws from reflecting on the Passover experience are twofold. First, that the Passover was meant to give courage to an afflicted people. And second, that without the explicit knowledge the Hebrew people were participating in a holy task, or as the author would say, the divine institution. I interpret this to mean, and here's the point I'm trying to make, I interpret this to mean that retrospection, or looking back at life today from the big picture perspective, is vital to growing in faith. Let me say that in different words again. In other words, if we are looking to build our faith, one of the things that we can do is to look back. But we look at the past from today's experience, today's context, but because we are looking back, it gives us the opportunity to look at it from a big picture perspective. So here is my first practical implication for us today. One way to build faith and confidence in God is to look back. Now, as you look back, we realize, gosh, life is always a mixed bag. However, when we look back, we will be able to see more clearly the time when God undoubtedly carried us through, just like He did with the people of Israel. As I look back at my own life, I see a clear pattern. For example, these days, as the parish priest of 5 parishes, life is not easy. It's complex, it's complicated. But if I look back, I see God's presence at other impossible situations in my life. If God was with me then, God is with me now, and God will take me into the future. So here's the key. Our life of faith today is built on our past. With the assurance of the presence of God in the past, we are better able to take faith-filled steps towards the future. So this week, may I suggest that if you get the chance, take a little time to look back at life. And if you see there are moments that God was truly carrying you through, and if that inspires confidence, it'll help us to face our today and the future just with a little more faith. My second point, I'm taking this from the book, from the letter to the Hebrews. Once again, the author is reflecting on an event that happened centuries ago in the life of Abraham. Using Abraham's example, the author tries to impress upon the readers the importance of faith. And how does the author define faith? The author says, faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. It truly is a spectacular definition of what faith is. In other words, we believe that what we don't have is ours now, and that we are absolutely certain about that which we have not seen. Abraham did not see the end when he took the first steps. Francis of Assisi did not see the end when he first decided to give up warfare. Straub did not know where God was leading him when he first decided to abandon commercial films. Now the question is, how do we do this, right? As I said earlier, the first way is to retrospect. The second way to develop Abraham-like faith, and pardon me if this sounds a little... The second way to develop Abraham-like faith is to actually practice it. Faith is learning by doing. And if I can suggest a practical implication, it is simply this. Think about an area in your life where you would like to grow in faith. Next thing, take one small step. So if you're trying to be very generous, please don't sell your house. But rather begin by helping someone with one meal. Begin with a small step. If you want to build a good spiritual life, don't try to read the Bible in a week. Begin with 2 minutes of silence. If you're trying to accomplish a humongous task, begin by taking the first step. When you get good at little steps, it naturally creates the way for you to act in faith in bigger things. So really, faith is a learning by doing. The doing makes us better at it. Faith is learning by doing, little by little, one step at a time. And finally, let's talk about the treasure in heaven. In today's gospel reading, Jesus says, provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Now, if you really look at it, and if you just hear it without reflecting, you say, oh my gosh, this is such a tedious task, such an arduous task. And what does this mean that I accumulate treasures in heaven? And I'm saying that accumulating treasure in heaven doesn't have to become a burden. And here's the reason I'm saying that. Accumulating treasure in heaven is not a separate endeavor than developing a light of faith, a life of faith. Rather, it is the result of the living in faith. In other words, as we look back at life and discover God's undeniable presence, as we learn little by little, step by step, to live in faith, our heart gets in the right place. Now our focus will gradually turn to things that really matter. Our hearts will focus not merely on earthly treasures, but the treasure of all treasures, our eternal destiny, Jesus Christ. And isn't it true that where our treasure is, there also will our hearts be? I guess what I'm trying to say in the final analysis is that living in faith and accumulating treasures in heaven, these are not two separate activities. It's the same thing. The more we walk in faith, we are naturally accumulating treasures in heaven, because a life of faith takes the heart to the right place. Jesus said to his disciples the words that he spoke today. He spoke to his disciples. And I believe that Jesus is saying the same words to us today. inviting us not just individually, but as a faith community, to be the people who others can look at and say, well, they've got their heart in the right place. Their heart is where their treasure is. And how wonderful, what a witness that would be in our world where there's so much greed, so much selfishness, and so much pain. We can be a difference in our world. Let us accept our Lord's invitation. People of God said,